Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Darlene is glad that I'm really going to have an opportunity to preach this to you because I've been preaching it to her all week long. So I'm really stirred up in my spirit today, unusually stirred up in my spirit. And I want to share with you, I'm excited, but yet I'm a little distressed in my spirit because I can tolerate certain things for a while. But when those things start bothering me to the extent where I know the Spirit of God is really urging me to say something, then I know that it's that time to say that. And I know I'm in the right spirit because if y'all know your First Lady, she instantly said, "Now, babe, are you sure you're hearing from the Lord?" I said, "Yeah, baby, I'm sure. She said, "You sure?" I said, "I'm sure, honey," because she could see. She could see how things were really kind of stirring me up in my spirit. But here's what happens. And I was sort of like this in high school, so I guess I haven't changed very much, even though I would like to believe that I have. But I haven't changed a whole lot because I am who I am. So you can't just change who you are. And I was always one that would take on the fight of the underdog. That's just been my nature. And I've gotten beat up pretty bad a couple of times doing that, but it never stopped me. That's just who I am. So I'm sensing in my spirit, I'm not going to say I've neglected from saying anything, but I've withheld from saying anything because I'm not one to get involved in political type things. I try to keep my ministry. You would never hear me as a ministry endorse a candidate for president. I don't do that. You know, I tell you to vote for who you feel led to vote for. But and I don't even point out the issues because they're talked about every single day. But what I will do when I can see things going sideways, then I feel incumbent upon me to say something because now I can see if you are watching these things, how they're going to impact your own personal lives. So that being said, I really feel a led, but now I'm not going to talk about the political race. That I'm not going to do. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. And I make that clear to anyone that will ask me that. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet I am compelled to speak the truth, but I'm going to speak the truth in love, but I'm yet going to speak the truth because I think there are some things that need to be said because I want you guys to understand. I mean, I know you're very bright people in here. I mean, we have quite a few college-educated people in here, so I know that you are quite aware of the things that's going on around you, yet I need to put those things into a spiritual context so that you will be able to rightly discern the things that are going on that will affect your lives both spiritually and in the natural. So I'm going to say these things today. Again, I'm going to say them in love, but I am definitely going to say them. because this is my congregation. I do not speak for anyone else's congregation, but I will speak for my own when I deem it necessary. And this is one of the times that I deem it necessary. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the word of the Lord for today. Father, we thank you today for just giving us the opportunity to be in your presence. Father, we never, ever take this for granted. It's an honor. It's a privilege to come into your house to give praise to your name. This is not something that we have to do. This is something that we get to do because we belong to you. I pray that you will continue by your Spirit to create an urgency in our hearts for your presence, for your word, for fellowship, because this is how we learn and grow. So, Father, we pray again that you will continue to bless our hearts and our minds. Father, now I'm going to voluntarily decrease, that Holy Spirit may increase in me, that your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And as always, I'm speaking, decreeing, and declaring that people will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and bondage. I thank you in advance, and I count it as done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seat. So, I'm just happy to be here today, and I don't want to mislead you. I am happy. I'm very happy. I have an opportunity to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so never, ever do I take that for granted. But I feel it necessary today to kind of enlighten you on some things scripturally that are happening in our country that I want my personal congregation to be aware of. Now, again, I know that we do have a media ministry, and I know that others will hear this. I'm not concerned about that whatsoever, but I'm more concerned about the ones that are here, the ones that God has given me charge over to minister to, that you will fully get this word into your spirit, because we really are a ministry of love. We have far more going on, guys, than you even realize. We have a lot of good things going on in this ministry. Amen. And I want those good things to continue. But I also realize that we are in spiritual warfare. There are demonic spirits that are out in this world and even attempting today to get into our service to bring division and discord. This is what they do. They want us to believe that everything that God has promised is not going to happen, and they want you to continually stay in a state of spiritual terrorism, where you're constantly worried about what they are doing. You're constantly worried about being blessed and then the devil somehow coming in and taking your blessing away. Well, that's not from God. Yeah. These demonic spirits, have influence in this natural world. This is what they do. They have influence on unbelievers as well as believers. So the only way that we can combat this, as the Word of God said, we cannot be unaware of the devices of the enemy and how he operates. Uh-huh. We have to be able to discern it. We have to be able to pray for it, and then we have to be able to stand against it. Yeah. You cannot, listen, it is not good enough to only say that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That behavior has to be continually manifested in your lives because others are watching you. Yeah. Others that you don't even know, they're watching you. Yeah. They're watching your behavior. They're watching your words. They're watching how you make decisions because they're going through something and they know that it's something different about you, but they need to know that your behavior and what you believe in is consistent with the Word of God. So now, I want to talk about today self-righteousness, the spirit of the Pharisees. Self-righteousness, the spirit of the Pharisees. Because, as I said, I'm seeing a lot of that happening right now, and I want to address it because self-righteousness is a spirit. It's a spirit that operates in this earthly realm, and it seeks to gain influence wherever it can. It's a very powerful spirit. It's a very influential spirit. And again, it takes effect on believers and unbelievers alike. So what is self-righteousness? Self-righteousness, and this is my personal definition, is when you seek to justify yourself by judging others. It's when we're looking to portray ourselves to others as better than what we actually are. So that is what self-righteousness is. We want others to look at us as being better than we actually know that we are. See, here's what happens with people that are self-righteous. They know, Trey, that they have issues. So they try to find issues with others to justify the areas that they're lacking in. And so they will look at others, and some of the very things are bringing that they're judging others for, they're guilty of themselves. And this was the dilemma of the Pharisees. And I'm going to read you some scriptures that that Jesus said, and I want to show you how he felt about it and how serious it is and how it can damage the kingdom of God. Now, self-righteousness carries one common banner. That banner is condemnation. Condemnation. And the problem with that is the Word of God says there's therefore now no what? No more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now, if self-righteousness brings condemnation, then it's directly against what God promised in our lives every day as we walk this thing out. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 18. Because what I want to do today, I want to give you examples of what I'm talking about. Because too many times we preach the word, but we don't know how to apply it practically. So I want you to not only hear dictionary and biblical definitions of what self-righteousness is, but I want to give you examples directly from the Word of God on how it operates in people's lives and how you can recognize it in your own. Now, Luke 18, verse 9, it's a story that Jesus told, and I want you to get this because these next couple of parables or next couple of things that I'm going to talk about, well, actually this one and the next one I'm going to talk about is from the Old Testament, because I want to give you balance. I really want you to be able to recognize the Spirit, because sometimes, now listen, sometimes it may operate in you. So you need to be able to recognize it far quicker in yourself than you are to recognize it in other people. So now Luke 18 verse 9, let me read this to you. It said this, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, right away, you're getting a good picture of how Jesus feels about this. I mean, you're getting a clear picture of this. Two men, this is where the story begins. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican or this tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I'm sorry, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, what are you really recognizing here? You're recognizing a person that is seeking to justify their relationship with God based on what they do for God. So how many of you know that your righteousness is just like filthy rags? That's what the Word of God says. So this Pharisee is trying to justify how he is in the eyes of God based on what he does for God. So let me read that again. He says this, I fast twice in the week. Kudos to you. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off and watching. Now you got to get this. This Pharisee was supposedly the righteous person. The publican, honey, was a person that everybody hated. So now he was watching, Trey, the attitude of the person that was supposed to be righteous. And sometimes people are watching us, and we are putting on such a front, sure, that when they see us, they think, I can never, ever live up to that standard. Amen. So when they watch, this is, I want you to see how this guy responded. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. Now, not just because he felt unworthy, but he was measuring how he was against the standard of this person that was supposedly so righteous. Yeah. My God, I'm trying to calm down, but I'm getting stirred up already. Because this thing stirs me up in my spirit. I'm telling you, folks, I have a thing about this. Now listen, he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast. That means, Trey, he started beating himself on the chest. He realized the atrocity of his ways. He realized that looking at this person that was so good, he could never live up to their standards. So he began to literally, honey, beat himself on the chest.
My God.
Help me, Spirit of God. Saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now listen to how Jesus responded. He said, I tell you this. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, listen, that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want to give you some, I'm trying to lay a foundation because I want you to see how God feels about this spirit that works in the world right now. It's an enormous type of spirit to even have to deal with. But let's look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, it's really a familiar chapter with a lot of us. We've heard and know the story. But if you have not, let me give you a brief background. David, who was chosen by God, and here is another example, Nikki, of how we forget where we have come from and the journey that we had to take to get to where we are. Because now David was not always king, yet he was chosen and anointed to be king, but yet there was a journey, honey, that he had to go through before it happened.
Yes.
And God allowed so many things to happen to this person who was anointed to be king, but he wasn't there yet. And it's amazing to me, even this day, how the things that we go through, the things that God allows us to experience, the tribulation that we have in our lives, and as soon as we get to a certain level, it seems that we forget all about that journey.
My God. My God.
And this is exactly what happened to King David.
Yes.
Listen, this story is about David and how he, you know, and I don't know if you talked about this recently, but he took the wife of Uriah and had him killed. You're talking about, you're worried about the things that you do. Let me tell you about the man that God said is a man after his own heart.
Yes.
He took another man's wife, Britt. He laid with her, got her pregnant, and then to cover it up, he had her husband killed. Sometimes, Jeanette, we do things and we think that because we're in a certain position, we can get away with it. See, I have no patience. I have zero patience for leaders that take advantage of their positions to take advantage of other people, particularly women that they're leading. I have a problem with that.
My God.
So here is this man that's in a leadership position. He went through so much, and now he is the king. It's not enough that God had blessed him with just about everything he wanted. I mean, not only did he have hundreds and hundreds of wives, he had concubines he could go to. There was no reason that he needed to take this man's wife. But how many of you know, because of a self-righteous spirit, we always want the very thing that we know we can't have?
Yeah, I got it.
Now, maybe that's not you. Maybe that's why y'all not saying amen. But I know most folks, that very thing that you know you cannot have, that is the very thing that you crave for the most. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yeah.
So now, David had, I think, he thought he had gotten away with this. But let me tell you how God works. It does not always happen when you think it's going to happen, but God is aware of everything that we do. Not only is he aware of what we do, the word of God says, honey, he's aware of the thought and the intent of our hearts.
Yes.
So even before David committed this act, he already knew that adultery was in the heart of David. And let me tell you something. Don't you think for one moment that God does not know the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows what you do when you are planning to do it.
Yes.
Let me not get off point here. Help me, Spirit of God, because I'm feeling this thing today. I'm telling you, it's disturbing me in my spirit. So he sent his prophet to David. And David, supposedly, you know, reputation-wise, had a reputation of being a fair man. So the prophet went to David and told him a story of a man who had one little ewe lamb. Had one. And this other person had many that he could choose from. He said, David, but this man chose to take this one precious lamb that this man owned. Now, let me tell you how the spirit of self-righteousness worked. He became indignant. David became beside himself. He was, oh, you just brought me to him. I can't stand stuff. This is how self-righteousness reacts.
My God.
They do the very same thing, Trey, but they look at you with repulse when you do it. That's a spirit of self-righteousness.
Yes.
They think that they are far removed from that because their stuff just haven't been found out. So he told this story to David, and David reacted by saying, show me this man, and he's got to die. I'm going to take his life. And that's when the prophet stopped and said, you are the man. You are the man. Some of the most famous words in the Word of God. You are the man. You are the woman. You are the person that is standing in judgment of others, and you have done the exact same thing yourself.
Yes. My God.
Self-righteousness has one common malady: blindness of the heart. We forget the things that God has brought us through. And when God delivers us, Brit, we start looking at others sideways like we have never been through that same thing ourselves. And the very people that we are sent on this earth to minister to, we begin despising them. Help me, Jesus. Self-righteousness carries an agenda of morality. Let me say that again, because this is where I was going. I wanted to lay that foundation, but this is where I'm going. Because, see, I really need to say something here, because, again, I have friends that are into politics. I have friends that have run for public office. I have a certain stance on certain things because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But self-righteousness carries an agenda of morality that is willing to overlook unrighteousness. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. I want to show you an example of this, and then I'm going to talk about it for a moment. Galatians chapter 2, because sometimes even we preachers stand to be accused because of the attitudes of our hearts. Now let me give you an example of a person who on the day of Pentecost preached so mightily that over 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. But how many of you know you can preach mighty sermons and your heart can still not be in the place where it's supposed to be?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. Now I want you to hear this clearly. And when James and Cephas, or Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only that we should remember the poor. Now listen, only that we should remember the poor. The same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come to withdrew and separated himself, fearing that which were of the circumcision would talk about them. Now I want you to see this attitude. And see, this is the attitude of a lot of believers that disturbs me. You know, you can hang with unbelievers when you think your pastor, other people, other believers are not around. You know, you are doing the exact same thing that they are. And then when you get in the circle of believers, you try to act like that you have never done something like that before. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face. Now, I want you to get this. I don't have a problem standing for the rights of unborn children. I want y'all to hear me well with this. Because that's what I believe in. I believe that every life, Brittany, is precious to God. I believe that God created all life, and we are to honor that life. And I don't support any law that gives people the right to kill unborn babies, but that's not where my problem begins. Because I don't have a problem standing up for that. I have a problem that when these same kids that are born, you act like you know that they are nobody. What happened to the sector of children that you are protecting when they're in the mother's womb, but when they come out of the mother's womb, you shoot them like they're not anybody?
Amen.
I got a problem with this. I cannot stand this level of self-righteousness. Brittany, it makes me sick to my stomach. Because I believe that we should have the same passion for children that make it here as the ones that don't make it here.
Yes.
We've got to have that same level of love and compassion.
Yes.
You would never see me sign a law to kill unborn babies. I would never, ever do that. But yet, you know, we have these same people that fight so vehemently for children that are not born. When they get here, they act like they're nobody at all. I've got a problem with that. Oh, help me, Jesus. I don't have a problem with the Supreme Court justices who uphold the basic values of the Word of God. But I do have a problem with thinking these laws will change the hearts of people. Let me tell you something, and this is an old argument, but I think I need to say it again. I do want Supreme Court justices that are going to uphold the Word of God. But let me be clear on this. There is no law, otherwise Jesus would not have to come to this earth. If the law worked, Jesus would not have to have come to this earth. The reason that he came, Nikki, is because the law was lacking. It did not deal with the issues of the heart. And I don't care how many justices you put on the Supreme Court that want to uphold the Word of God, it does not impact the hearts of men. And this is where my problem lies. I think we have to be passionate about everything. Stop this self-righteous spirit. It's divisive. There is nothing more divisive in this country than a spirit of self-righteousness. Let me say a few things about self-righteousness. It operated in Jews hating Samaritans. Years ago, Samaritans were considered to be half-breeds. Jews did not like them. So they thought somehow in their minds that they were better than Samaritans. But yet it took Jesus, because see, sometimes, you know, you can see the written law, but you don't see the spirit of the law, which Jesus often talked about. And it was Jesus who went through Samaria on purpose, went to the well, and dealt with a woman that was full of sin. Now, this is a lesson for everybody that may be watching. This is a lesson for all of you. I want you to see how Jesus handled this. Because you see, here's my problem, Trey. The ones that we are so vehemently attacking, these are the ones that we were sent from heaven to get born again.
Amen.
Now, if we can't minister the Word of God to them, Cheryl, how are they ever going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
If we look at them as being below what we are up here, they're down here, then why do we even need to be here?
Yeah.
But Jesus showed us a perfect example. This woman, Cheryl, she had five different husbands, and the one that she was living with, Brittany, was not even married to him. But yet, what did Jesus say? You come to this well for water, but there is a different type of water that I'm going to give you that nobody else can give you. Somebody say living water.
Living water.
Hallelujah. It's the living water of God that cleanses us. Let me say something else. Let me go further. I want to deal with this today because you probably never hear me preach about this again. I don't think. It operated in whites hating and despising blacks. Now, let me tell you the history. Imagine this. African men and women are taken from their motherland. I want you to get a picture of this. And they, most of them, probably 95% of them, were not serving the true and the living God. So instead of bringing these people here
to introduce the word of God to them and enhance the kingdom of God. We bring them here to, you know, subject them to us, our ways, and yet we call ourselves Christians.
Amen.
I got a problem with that. I got a problem with these people standing on these podiums and they're talking about family values. Jesus, help me. They're talking about family values, and yet they are embracing people who admitted on tape their behavior. Where are we going? What is happening in this country? Listen, let me tell you something so that you'll know. I'm not for Hillary and I'm not for Trump. I'm for righteousness. And I don't care who does it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I cannot take this hypocritical behavior from so many that claim the word of God. You know, as the word of God says, you strain at a gnat and yet you'll swallow a camel. What in the world is going on in here? What is happening in our country? We will tolerate things that cause us hardly any problems at all, but yet the things that we should be standing against, we're almost suffocating ourselves trying to swallow it. Let me give you some proof. Turn to your Bible to Matthew. Jesus, help me. My spirit is fired up this morning. Oh, so cool. I want to read to you from the words of Jesus himself. I want to read to you what he says. Matthew 23 and 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you, you do that. That observe and do, but do not follow after their works. For they say one thing and they do something else. He's talking about the religious people now. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to everyone else and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of their fingers to help them. And now these are the words of Jesus himself. Oh, Jesus, help us. Let me go further. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering in to go in. They don't want to go to heaven, and they are preventing other people's shot from getting in there themselves. Woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever says swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever says swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. How much hypocrisy is that? Let me go even further. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Oh, Jesus. Verse 23, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to have been done, and not to leave others undone. You blind guys which strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. Oh, help us, Jesus. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but with the cup within they are full of extortion and excess. They are so busy cleaning things that people can see, but yet their hearts are still unclean. Let me say this, and I'm done here. Let me say this. I have zero tolerance for this type of behavior, particularly coming from believers. Who do you think you are? I mean, really, who do you think you are? You stand in judgment of others. God has delivered you, saved you, cleansed you, and set you free. And yet you stand on the podium and you act like you're righteous in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, you are not righteous at all. Your righteousness is just like filthy rags. I cannot take this kind of behavior anymore. I have kept my mouth quiet long enough. I cannot stand by as a minister. tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch these people who call themselves men of God. Help us, Jesus. Men of God. You're talking about Supreme Court laws and Supreme Court justices. But yet you think these laws are going to change the hearts of men. What is the matter with you? Don't you know that that is a problem that we have had before Jesus came? We had the law and we were trying to live by it. And Paul said it best. Every time that I want to do good, what? Evil is always present with me. And that is the problem with the law. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you know in your heart you want to do right, but every time you go to do right, you end up messing up? Amen. Your every hand and foot should be up here today. Because we have all experienced that. We have all experienced that. Yet I don't understand what, as believers, what is our call? What are we really supposed to do? See, you can't use my black vote, you know, and try to use my spirituality against that. That's not going to work for me. That does not work for me. Because I love the children, Ruth, that are born as much as I do the ones that are not born. I'm as concerned about my sons getting stopped and, you know, doing something that may not even, they may not even know how to react and getting shot. And then for somebody to say, all lives matter. We shouldn't be saying black lives matter. Well, you know what? Let me say this. I'll say all lives matter when all lives are being shot. But don't play with me with this. I mean, we just need to stop it. There is a spirit of self-righteousness in this country that it just appalls me. We've got to get to this place. And listen, it's your vote. You do what you want to do. But you lose your right to have a voice if you don't exercise your right to take advantage and do something about it. If you can't do something about it, then shut your mouth. But you cannot continue to complain about the status of how things are if you're not willing to stand up and do something about it. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We carry the power. Jesus said, all power has been given into my hand, and I'm giving that power to you. We have the power. What happened to old time fasting and praying and laboring before God? Well, I mean, does these things still work, Trey? I mean, do they still work? I mean, can believers still band together in one place on one accord and change the world? I think so. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I think we still carry the power in this country. And when I say we, I'm talking about the power of a praying person. The power of a person that will stand together as one and believe that the hearts of men will be changed from the inside out. Because when that happens, that's when this whole country is going to turn around. But it's not going to turn around, Patricia, by executing a law and thinking that law somehow changes the hearts of people. How many of you know that God is the only one that can change the hearts of people? Because he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I'm stirred up in my spirit today. Because I want us to understand, we still carry the power. But I'm talking about Holy Ghost power, prayer power, anointing power, deliverance power, set free power. Come on, somebody. We carry the power to make crooked things straight. The power lies, Shonda, within us. I will not stand no longer for this kind of foolishness. I am so disappointed of the things that are happening in our country right now. As a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even as an American citizen, I am so disappointed with the things that are happening in this country right now. It not only sickens me, but it saddens my heart to see that we have gotten to such a place where we want to elect the one who lies the less. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Where are we going with this? Where are we going with this? People of God, listen, let me say this to you. If there is anything that Jesus hates, it is a spirit of self-righteousness. Where you forget what God has brought you through. And then you start looking at others who are struggling, like, you know, I can't stand them. How in the world, first of all, Trey, could we be a ministry of restoration? This is a ministry of restoration.
Yes.
To bring people back from an undamaged, fully functional, improved condition.
Yes.
This is what we are assigned to do. But if we are turning our nose down at people that come in here that may smell a little funny, how are we going to get them saved and healed and delivered and set free?
Yes. Yes.
How are they going to hear the gospel of this man from Galilee who carries all power? He carries the power to deliver us right on the spot.
Yes.
How are they going to get the message if we ourselves are not giving this message with fervor? Why do you think I've been saying for the last few weeks, we've got to get on, we've got to be watchmen on the wall. Listen, if you've gotten off the wall, Nikki, we've got to get back on the wall. We've got to be watchers over this country. Because I don't believe anyone is more qualified than believers to watch and pray over this country. We are in bad condition. We're in horrible condition. But if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is the word of God. I think we need to hear this on podiums a little more. Not electing people because they have the same political affiliations, but electing people because they stand for righteousness. And I don't mean the righteousness that looks down on others, the righteousness that carries a personal agenda. I don't mean that. Because you see, to me, when I hear people say, you know, we need to go back to the old America, I don't want to go back to the old America, because I didn't do, and my people didn't do very well in the old America. I don't want to go back to the old. You can have it.
Amen.
We need to be in a country that believes and stands for righteousness.
Yes.
Stand for what's right.
Yes.
Stand for what the Word of God says. Do I want to see laws changed? I do. But I'm not deceiving myself into believing that it will change the hearts of people. It takes God to do that. Stand on your feet. I know y'all saying, Pastor, what in the world is wrong with you today? When that thing is in my spirit, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Listen, I'm 64 years old. I have seen some things that none of you have even been long enough to even know about. I was raised in the South. I was raised in Virginia, where all of these slaves originally were brought to. I was raised there. I know what it's like to be discriminated against. I know what it's like to have a car to drive by you on the street and the men in that car spit in your face and then drive off. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to be snatched out of a phone booth. I mean, I almost ball up my fist thinking about it. I know what this feels like. I lived it. I was born in 1952 in the South. I know what I'm talking about. So when you hear me say, I don't want to go back to the old America, I say it for a reason. I like the journey that we have made, but Grandma, we got a long way to go in this country. We've got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, and I'm telling you, Brittany, laws are not going to fix them. We need to get on our knees and pray that the hearts of men will be changed. Because even if the law is not in operation, their hearts will move them to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Far before a law even be put on the books.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.